Ephesians chapter 4, if you're there, say amen. Look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God, we love you. Thank you for the testimonies, God. Lord, we could close the service down right now, God, and say it's been great. It's been awesome to be in your house tonight, God. I feel your presence, God. Lord, I know you're here, and it's good just to know we saved, God. Help us right now, Lord, as we open up your word tonight. God, just help us, encourage us right now, and we'll praise you for all you do, God. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope nobody came tonight looking for somebody to sing a song that would just take all your hope away. I hope nobody come tonight hoping to be discouraged when you left. Did anybody come tonight looking for the wind to be knocked out of your sails? None of us. I mean, you see, nobody came saying, please hurt me. I've not been beat up today enough. I want to go to church, and I want somebody to hurt my feelings. I want somebody to make me mad. Nobody came like that. But we came looking for the opposite. Yeah. For help. And I want to preach a little while tonight on the thought of don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. In a world that's filled with hopelessness and discouragement and defeat, and I know we all face it. Every last one of us faced it. You know, I've been texting back and forth with Preacher Trevor over the last several days, and I know it's hard not to get discouraged when you just, it seems like everything you can do, you just can't hardly get ahead. And Brother Donald's gone through an accident. Miss Shirley is at the hospital now. I mean, and if we're not careful, it's real easy to get down and get discouraged. That's why in our text, Paul said he found a secret to staying encouraged, for which we faint not. Literally, that phrase, for which we faint not, means that we don't lose heart. Paul knows the secret to not losing heart, and he shares that secret in this passage right here. Let's, number one, I want you to look at an incredible statement that Paul says. In verse 16, Paul says, for which cause we faint not. This is a statement. The word faint there refers to the failing of the heart. So the phrase can be read this way, that we do not lose heart. Paul's telling us that regardless of what comes, regardless of what goes, he has made it. He has got a place in his life where he don't lose heart. I got to thinking about this and studying on this a little bit today. When Paul says not to lose heart, or when he says we faint not, that preacher Mike preaches this way a lot. That is in the present tense. Okay, and I'm not no great English scholar, but that is in the present tense. What Paul's saying right there is I never lose heart. Anybody in here tonight can say that? I can't say that. I wish I could say I never lose heart. I wish I could say I'm always on the mountaintop. I wish I could be like the Apostle Paul and say, I have learned that whatever state I am, I'm in, that's I am content. That it would be a lie. Amen. And if any of y'all said it, it might be a lie too. Let me just kind of take a sidetrack, and I was thinking about this afternoon as I was on my way to church and thinking about this a little bit. I've known people over the years now that I believe have reached that point. I've known people in my Christian walk that I believe had reached that point. I believe your grandmama was one of them. I believe that with all my heart. I believe there's a certain point in a mature Christian's life where they reach that point that heaven's going to be their home, and they're happy that heaven's going to be their home, and it don't matter what the devil throws at them. It don't matter what the world throws at them. Heaven's going to be their home, and they're content to know that heaven's going to be their home. That don't happen overnight. That don't happen when you first get saved. Paul's life was anything but easy. When you start studying the passages on Paul's life, let's look at two passages of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 says this, "For we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant of the troubles which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even for life." Paul was saying, "I feared for my life." And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, verse 23, "Are there ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In laborers more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice suffered shipwreck. A night and day have I spent in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robber, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, it cometh upon me daily the care of the church. Who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is offended? And I burn not." Paul, if anybody had a reason to lose hope, Paul had a reason to lose hope. And if we ain't careful, the modern Christian is laid on a pavement and they lose hope. If we ain't careful, the modern Christian the lights go out and they lose hope. If we ain't careful, the modern Christian, some bad news comes and they lose hope. Paul said, "I never lose hope. I want to get there. I want to get to that place. I would love to be able to get there." There's nobody in here that can make that statement. There's nobody in here that can say, "I never get discouraged." There's nobody in here that can say, "I never want to get up." There's nobody in here that can say, "I'm always encouraged. I'm always excited. I'm always on top of the world." None of us can say that. A lot of times I feel like David. David said in Psalms 55, verse 6, "And I said, ah, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest." If we'll be honest tonight, troubles, trials, and tribulations sometimes makes us want to run. I know y'all just sit there and look all holy. I'll just preach to myself. Troubles, let me tell you something. There ain't a pastor alive that's pastored no more than a week that ain't just about got up every Monday morning thinking, "This ain't for me." And very few. I've told you before, you know, with preachers, you know, you come in and you preach the gospel, and this is the fun part right here. The fun part is being able to come to church, preacher, and preach the gospel and sing and feel, get in the service and feel the presence of God like we've already felt tonight. But the part when you run off down to the hospital and you're in the emergency room with the family, and the doctor comes in and says, "There ain't nothing else we can do." That ain't the fun part. Now let's look at this statement that Paul said, a familiar struggle. Verse 16, "Which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish." One of the reasons that we go through this is that our outward man is perishing. Our outward man refers to the fleshly part of us that encompasses both mind and body. It's one thing to be tired in body, but it's another thing to be tired in mind. When you're tired in your mind, that's a whole nother aspect. That's a whole nother situation there. And that's where most of us are fighting the struggle. Brother Donald's gone through an accident. His body's going to be sore. But we can live with the soreness of our bodies. But like Brother Johnny said, when you're going through something and you're troubled in mind and you can't hardly sleep sometimes and you're going through a struggle, the outward man, that's why it's so easy to get discouraged, because we're living in the flesh. And we all struggle with it. We're told an outward man is perishing. The word perishing, it means to rot or to ruin or to be corrupt or be destroyed. The word destroyed is the meaning that we're looking at. This same word is used in several other scriptures. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 12, verse 33, "Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, as treasures in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. That word right there, corruption, is talking about the perishing, the outward man. It's like moth that can destroy the cloth. The outward man is being eaten every day by the cares of this world, by the weight of this world, by the things that the world throws at us. So the reason we're prone to lose heart and prone to give up is our outer man is destroyed and ruined and corrupted every day. I was talking with a preacher friend of mine. Tell you how easy it is to get corrupted. And y'all have heard me say this from the pulpit before. I remember a preacher giving this illustration. He said he was on the way to preach revival. Gospel music playing, studied, prepared, ready to preach. Said he got thirsty, so he pulled in a convenience store, walked in to get him something to drink, Brother Johnny. And said when he walked in the convenience store and turned the corner, there was that magazine rack. Come on. With them magazines there, with them pictures of those girls on the magazines. He said he got his drink. When he got back in the car, guess who got in the car with him? The devil. Just like that, in a flash, corruption. Corruption. Folks, that's just life. That's just life. And life comes at us hard. Let me tell you, I was listening to another preacher today, and he was talking about, he said, I believe it was E.V. Hill, he said the hardest time he had ever faced with Satan was 5 minutes before his first wife passed away. He said, I'm thinking to myself, this is Satan. At least Satan have a little compassion. At least Satan will give somebody a little break. He said, no, but 5 minutes when the doctor comes in there, and the doctor told me, he said, there's nothing we can do. Your wife's got about 5 minutes to live. He said, Satan came in the room right then. Said, ain't you E.V. Hill? Ain't you prayed for people and tumors disappeared? Ain't you run great revivals and people been saved? Pray for your wife. Oh, you think, Brother Donald, you think just because you got in a wreck, Satan ain't going to jump on you? Brother Johnny, Miss Ray, you think just because you're going through something right now that Satan has called off all the demons in hell, said, all right, leave them alone right now. Don't mess with them no more. No. Satan is like Vince Lombardi. When he sees you down, he gonna jump on you with everything he's got. He's gonna unload hell on you if he can. And I'm telling you right now, the inner man is what's fighting this. The flesh. The flesh. Not only that, but we have a fallen nature. The whole natural world is under a curse from God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 22 and 23, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of the body. Everybody in this room is either saved or lost. Saved or lost. The Bible talks about how is it appointed unto man once to die. We will waste away. We will die. I'm telling you, and that's the fallen nature of man. I preached on this just a few weeks ago about old age. It's going to happen. That's the fallen man. That's the outer man. The thing about it is we live in a fallen nature. We live in a sin-cursed world where everywhere you go, you're cursed. Where everywhere you go, you're fighting it. Fallen people fail God. Any of y'all in here been perfect since Sunday? Come on now, let's get honest. Ain't none of y'all, y'all ain't had no bad thoughts. Y'all ain't said nothing out of the way. Fallen people lose hope. We've not made it to that place that Johnny was singing about, where that pure river and nothing never goes wrong, but we go in glory to God. And I'm trying to get into that in just a little bit. Paul's experience was that everybody makes a mess of it. Now, we got a familiar struggle. Verse 17 and 18, the Bible says, "For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." What we need to see and what Paul came to know was that our outward man perish and faint not. I want to come to that place that I don't faint not. I want to come to that place that I can say I am content with every situation. I want to come to that place where I don't lose heart. Because I'm telling you, in the last few days, I've had struggles in the last few days. I've had to almost like David said, have to encourage yourself sometimes. Cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. Now listen, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Our outward man ain't much to him. But the inward man, that's where you get your strength from, amen. Every day, our outward man slows down. But I'm going to be honest with you. If you're living the right life and you're studying and you're praying and you're doing what you're supposed to, that inward man ought to be getting stronger. Even though the outward man gets weaker, the inward man ought to be getting stronger. Even though the outward man slows down, the inward man ought to be running at top speed. Even though the outward man can't go, that inward man ought to be, daily, praying and studying. If we get that kind of mindset, we can make it through this. We can make it through this. Jesus said it this way, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for itself, sufficient to the day's the evil thereof." If he's in control, why am I going to worry about it? Brother Johnny, Miss Fraser, if he's in control, and he is, praise God, go home and sleep like a baby. If he's in control, Brother Donald, and he is, don't you worry about it. When you get up tomorrow and you go get you some coffee, don't you worry about it. If we ain't careful, when something bad happens, we'll get that mindset. I don't know if I need to go. Something bad might happen again tomorrow. When I got shot on the highway patrol, 20 days I went back to work. I got shot on the interstate, and them boogerheads put me right back on the interstate. I'm best being honest. It took me about 3 hours, Brother Robert, before I stopped the car. The devil's in your mind. You know, you got to get over that mess. Amen. You got to get over that mess. I finally just sucked it up. I said, I'm going to do my job. I stopped the first car, and after that, everything was fine. Just because something bad things happen don't mean we stop living. Because bad things happen. The inner man has got to keep us going, amen? And I got to think about this. Sufficient until the day evil thereof. So each day demands that we get new grace. Things are getting ready to pick up. Each day. How many of us, I was reading something the other day, and I believe it was Apostle Paul said, we do not frustrate the grace of God. Have you ever realized you can't frustrate the grace of God? I mean, think about this. And I ain't got time to go through this. If I talked to Brother Robert and asked Brother Robert how much in the past few days, if he's had any bad thoughts, and I come to Dallas, how many times have you sinned, and I come to Ben and Wes and Jackie and Bird, and how many times have all of us sinned over the last few days? And guess what? There's still more. There's enough grace to go around. There's grace, grace, grace. I got to thinking about this. I got to think about it as I was studying this today. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 16, God come down to Samuel. God said, fill thy horn with oil and go anoint David. This was the prophet. This was the man that wrote part of the Bible. This was the man that anointed David to be king. This was the man that God used. Why was Preacher Buddy, see, preached the message. Why was his horn not full? Because what I'm preaching about tonight, he had to fight the flesh. He had to fight friends. He had to fight family. He had to fight the enemies. His horn was not full. I want to be like the psalmist said in Psalms 92, verse 10, but my horn shall thou exalt with the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Glory to God. Guess what? When I get up in the morning, I want fresh oil. I'm telling you right now, what happens when you... All right, Mike, you shouldn't sit on the front row. What happens when you put old gasoline into a car? I'm going to say, what happens when you put old gasoline in the car? Mike said, it don't run good. Some of y'all ought to be shouting right there. Some of y'all still trying to go on what you got 2 weeks ago. Some of y'all still trying to go on what you got 20 years ago. Some of y'all need some ethanol cleaner, ethanol-free gas, amen? We need to fill up tonight. We don't need to be going on what we got last week, because last week is already gone. I love chicken bog. Amen? But I don't like it more than 2 or 3 days in a row. It gets old. That's the problem with most people in church. They're happy with what they had in the past. But Paul said, my inward man is renewed daily. Amen? And the thing about it is, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Nothing we face is forever. I've been texting back and forth with Preacher Trevor in the last few days, and he had COVID, got diagnosed with COVID, and he was sick, and then he got better. I texted him the other day, I said, how you feel? He said, I feel great. He said, but I'm still getting a positive test. Text him, still, I feel great, still getting a positive test. I texted him yesterday, I think it was, you negative yet? Yep, glory to God. Amen. Guess what? When it first happens, you think, well, Lord, what in the world am I going to do? This ain't, it didn't last forever. Like the old man in the Bible study said, my favorite verse is, it came to pass. Amen. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. Now listen. This is what the Bible says. How was Paul able to always be encouraged? How was Paul able not to lose hope? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. My mind, Paul focused on the prize and not the problem. Amen? Paul was focused on heaven, not here. And I'm telling you, folks, when you focused on heaven, everything else will work out. If God, and the thing about it is, we're going to go through troubles, we're going to go through trials, we're going to have ups and downs, but if God is God, he's got it. Amen? All things work to good to them that love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose. That is still part of the Bible. I'm telling you, my God knows all, sees all, is everywhere present, nowhere absent. It don't matter. I'm telling you right now, you understand something. When Donald Boone left the house the other day in that black truck, there was somebody riding with him because God had already dispatched angels, amen. And I'm telling you, when Mike left home today, there was somebody riding with him. When I left home today, there was somebody riding with me. When the ambulance picked up Shirley Adams the other night, hey, well, somebody got in that ambulance with her, amen. You understand something? He's God, and don't you worry about it. Amen. If we can ever get our minds focused on that, he's God, and he's got it. He's God, and he's got it. How many times has he brought you through before? Brother Johnny, how many times has he brought you through before? Lord have mercy. I can't tell you how many times I've been to your house when you was sick or Miss Rachel was sick or somebody in the family was dying, and he's brought you through all that. All of it. So if he's got it, the Bible says he never sleeps or slumbers, so why in the world are you staying up all night? I mean, it's just, it is what it is. I'm not... Paul, I've already read to you. Paul did not live a comfortable life. Paul had heartaches. Paul had struggles. I mean, like you and I ain't got no clue. But Paul, talking about himself, now listen, talking about himself, for our light afflictions, he's not demeaning nobody else. Paul said for ours. He puts his name in there too. Our, that's plural. Our light afflictions, which is but for a moment. In 2 weeks, everything you're facing right now will be behind you. You ever have something, Clint, and you know it's coming, and it's almost like dread? And you start counting down the days. Oh, I got 2 days. I got one more day. Boy, after tomorrow, this thing's going to be over. And then a couple of weeks down the road, you look back and think, that was stupid. I was worried to death and scared to death. It's about like what Preacher Mitch Ingram said up here in our camp meeting. He was scared to death of something that was already dead. God's got it, folks. God's got it. Let me ask you a question. What are you facing right now? What are you facing right now? Maybe you want to come down to this altar and just talk to the Lord about it. Well, maybe you have not been facing it and handling it like you should. And you just want to give it to God. Say, God, you got it, so I'm not going to worry about it no more. If you would bow your heads, the altar's open.